Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Rich or poor, successful or still struggling to make it, if there's one thing we all want more of in life, it's money. And if there's one thing that can fill us with fear, it's money. From our emotions to our behaviour, money wields enormous power over us. But what if we've all got it wrong? What if we've completely misunderstood what money really is? What if money has a different purpose than we think? What if money could talk to you and tell you what it really wants for you? Sarah McCrum is a graduate of Cambridge University and a money consciousness coach who works with entrepreneurs and game changers around the world. She's the author of Love Money, Money Loves You, and Energy on Demand, Master Your Personal Energy and Never Burn Out. And she's co-founder of the Consciousness of Money series of programs that help people transform their relationship with money. Sarah McCrum joins me tonight to challenge our preconceived notions about money and show us how we can develop a profoundly different relationship with it. She also comes bearing an exclusive free gift to help you put everything she says to the test at absolutely no cost to yourself. So stay tuned for more of that later in the show. And now, Sarah McCrum, welcome.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
Sarah, your book, Love Money, Money Loves You, bears your name as author, and yet it reads as though the narrator is money itself. Tell us the backstory to that. When and why did money first start talking to you?
Okay. Yeah, so it started in 2010, in December, after a very traumatic year. It was 2 years after the recession hit. I was in London running a business that was failing, and failing increasingly. We were really struggling. We were not able to pay our bills. And finally, in November, we had to close our doors, which was an extremely difficult decision, as I think anyone who's been through that will know. And so after 10 years of being constantly busy one way or another, I suddenly had a lot of time on my hands. And I was given a little book, which was called How to Be a Money Magnet. And it had exercises at the end of each chapter. And one of the exercises said, what does money want to say to you? And I didn't really think much of it. I also didn't think that money would want to say anything to me. It wasn't something I'd ever thought about. But I just started writing, and my pen started to move in my hands. It was not something that had ever happened to me before. And it started writing this message. And the first words that came out were, I would like to tell you to love me. And then it continued. And it was literally an experience where I was, just like you said, I was really the scribe. And it seemed as though money, describing itself as an energy, was actually speaking to me, or speaking through me, I guess would be the way to describe it. And so I did that every day for quite a few months, because it was such an extraordinarily beautiful and uplifting and enlightening experience, because the messages I was receiving were all coming from this energy that was talking about, I want you to love me and I love you. So it was a completely different message about money from anything that I'd ever come across before.
What did that feel like?
It was a combination. So when I was writing, I was fully aware. I wasn't in a trance or anything. I could see the words coming out of the end of my pen, but they weren't my words. I was really clear about that. And then when I read it back was when I got the full meaning of it. I often read it to my husband, so he was the first person to hear it. And sometimes we would laugh, or we would be really touched in our hearts, because it was just, the message was so sweet and so beautiful. and so surprising. So it was more when I read it back that I got the feeling of it.
It's interesting that, you know, it sounds like such a wacky concept because we are so steeped in the old traditions, everything around money, and it's very dense energy. But when you actually read the book, you keep, you know, you can't stop saying, that's right. Yes, of course. How could it be otherwise?
I know. So sometimes people say to me, I just can't imagine having a relationship with money, or it doesn't make any sense to me to say love money. Like, how could I possibly love money? And I just say, look, take time and investigate whether this is possible, because it just feels so different when people actually engage with it, and they're surprised, and I'm surprised. I'm continually surprised still by the feeling of it and the experience of it and what's opened up inside me from doing this.
So what happened to you between acting as a scribe, writing all this down, and then deciding to publish it later? What happened to propel you into that next step?
I was very naive when I wrote it. And at first I was just writing these messages because it was intriguing. And probably after a couple of months, I would imagine because I'd read Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God, I started to think, I suppose most people who do something like this, they publish it as a book. Maybe I'd better turn it into a book. It kind of dawned on me, which seems very strange in hindsight, because I guess I know more now. And at the time, I had no money because of going out of business and other situations that were going on. I was really, really broke. So I investigated how to self-publish and discovered that I could do virtually everything free of charge, which was amazing. The only thing I paid for was to get a little book formatting, text formatting program for about $80. I spent my last, it was really a sad story in a way. I spent my last $80 on this little program so that I could format the text, and I put it together with an awful photo, and I had to publish it under a different name originally, which was, so I chose to call myself Joy Prospero, which is kind of cute, or some people think it's a bit off. But it really matched the message. It was about prosperity and it was about joy, and I felt that that was a name that kind of matched it. My teacher didn't want me to publish it at the time, my Chinese master. And so it was all rather, I sort of just put it out there but didn't tell anybody that I had published it. And about 9 months later, it was Christmas, I made a special Christmas edition with some additional texts in it and gave it to about 7 or 8 people. And I didn't know anything about promotion in those days, so I didn't promote it. It's the most bizarre thing now. But little by little, like really slowly, I found that I would sell one book or I would sell 2 books. Somebody would write me a message about it. And the honest truth is that after I wrote it, I actually felt really uncomfortable because I had no money. When I first published it, I had to decide whether I could afford 1 or 2 author copies, and they cost about $4 plus postage from America, and I decided I could only get 1 copy for myself. So, you know, it was really difficult, and I actually felt really ashamed. I felt that because I'd written it, I should be able to do it, and so for a while I kind of didn't engage with it nearly as much as I should have done. I think because of the shame, I didn't realize what was going on, but it felt like, it just felt really challenging. And I'd also been told stories of people who'd channeled books and then had died because they, I don't know, they didn't follow the message or stuff like that. And it spooked me, literally. And I didn't follow the message. Instead of saying, oh, well, I'm going to be really, really strict and follow this message, there was something subconscious going on where it's like, oh, dear, this is really difficult. But a couple of years later, I moved to Australia and I left my teacher. And I was completely independent by that time. And I had nothing except a couple of suitcases and a computer. I had to start a business. I had to pay all my expenses within a few weeks, and it was then that I realized that I actually had to engage with the book. And that was the beginning of my learning how to do it rather than how to be a scribe. They are very, very different things.
Shame is something that I should think everybody feels in connection with money at some point in their life. You know, shame because we've lost it, and or we've been profligate, or you know, we didn't invest it wisely, or someone took it from us, or we just can't make enough of it to support the things that we want to support. Did that shame? I mean, you talk in the book about the, you know, the energy around money, the energy of the way we interact with money. So during that period of your life, you really were in that circle, weren't you? You're feeling the shame. You're not engaging with it. You're not making any money. So, you know, where did that pattern fall apart and things turn around?
It literally fell apart because I had no choice. During that time when I was really in denial, I would say more than anything, because of the underlying shame, I was protected in that I had my food and accommodation provided through, I was training with a Chinese master and it was kind of live-in situation. And so I could manage with having $10 in my bank account. I could manage with just about enough money to buy toothpaste, because I didn't need more than toothpaste until I wrote a book and I wanted to buy copies. So I could manage my life as I thought at that time. And one of the things I've learned actually is that it's when we make a decision that I'm not going to live like this anymore, I have to expand. I have to raise my standard, if you like. That's actually when things start to change. So when I moved to Australia, I made a decision, which was perhaps something I had learned from the book subconsciously, to rent a much nicer house than the cheapest possible one. It wasn't super expensive, but I just didn't want to live in a really dingy place. I didn't feel that that would be appropriate. So we found somewhere nice, and I was never going to go back to that place of not being able to pay the rent, because I have been there and it's awful. So I set my standard that whatever happens, we are going to pay the rent, and we're going to pay the rent on time. We're going to pay for our food. Obviously, we have to. And I had no choice. But the thing is, as anyone knows who started a business, I didn't know a single person in Australia, literally. I didn't have one connection here. So I was starting very cold. And many times, especially in the first year, I would be looking as Thursday came around, which was the day I had to pay the rent. It's like, help, I don't think, I haven't got the money, and I don't know who to ask. I didn't have clients who I could ring up and say, hey, can you give me a referral, or, you know, the usual things you do in business. And so the only place I could go to was the book and do what it taught me, and it actually taught me to ask money. So I learnt in those days to ask money to sort out the rent for me. That sounds like really out there, really wacky, but that is what I did, because pretty much that's what it told me to do. And the funny thing is that it worked, and we always paid our rent. Like a couple of times we paid 2 or 3 days late, and I'm always told them what was happening, but I was absolutely clear that I was going to sort it. And so I built a really clean record for myself, having had, you know, loads of credit card debt and all of those things in this new country that I was living in, by applying what I learned in the book. And I didn't get it right every time, but every time it was an emergency, every time we had to have something, actually it always worked, which is also interesting, I think. I think one of the big dangers is when we get comfortable and think, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. And that's when we get complacent and we don't have such a strong connection then with money.
I agree. Now, the book delves into the heart of the world of money, but not into financial systems as they exist here on planet Earth. Rather, it gives us an insight into how money energy operates behind the physical world. So tell us a little bit about that.
That's very funny. Well, I find it very funny. So the image that I have, and maybe this is me, but it kind of came from the book, if not absolutely described like this. The image I have is that money is a system that operates behind our physical world. It's a system of energy, but that energy has form. So I see it rather like a great big kind of heavenly or high consciousness government bureaucracy full of beings, literally beings that are there. Their purpose is actually to serve human beings and to enable us to get what we want. You know, like it says in the Bible, ask and ye shall receive. And there are many people who teach similar kinds of things. What I found is that it really is pretty much like that. So this department, if you like, the money department, if I make a request, let's say I say, oh my goodness, I would really love to go. In my first year, I said, I'd really love to go on this course. And it was going to cost me $8,000, which was an enormous stretch. But I really, really wanted to do it. When I say something like that, I now know that that is like, it's a request. It's like clicking the send button when you do an internet order. And that request is immediately logged in this energetic system. It's kind of recorded. And then the whole system goes into action to fulfill my request. Now, the problem is that usually what I might have done is say something like, oh, I'd love to go on that course, but I can't afford it. And they have to fulfill that bit as well. So then they have to say, OK, Sarah McCrum, course, $8,000, can't afford it, delay delivery. Essentially, it's kind of a bit like that. And so they hold if you're saying you can't afford it, because that's the message that you're sending them. In that particular case, I didn't say I can't afford it. I just said I'd really love to do it. And literally within a day, a client who already had something like 20 sessions left in her package said, Sarah, I really want to buy a $5,000 package from you. I was like, that's a bit odd. But it showed me that I was on track. And she did buy it. She didn't buy quite such a big package, but she bought something. And I just stayed in that place of really wanting to go on this course. And the last piece fell into place pretty much the day before we flew. But we made it. And I think that, so what I learned from that is that there is this system that listens to every thought and feeling that I have that connects me in any way with money, even quite indirectly. And it has to deliver according to what I'm thinking and feeling and doing, obviously, as well. And so it's extremely responsive. It's a system that is essentially full of incredibly old, dusty records of requests that have been made and never fulfilled, because so many people are telling the story of I can't afford it, I don't deserve it, I'm not worthy of it. And so all of those things that you long for but feel you're not worthy of sit in the not worthy book, if you like, in the record, until one day in your life you drop that whole unworthy story. And then suddenly it's like, oh, this just came. I wanted that 30 years ago. I've had that experience many times where something I wanted when I was much younger, Sarah, has come 20 years later.
Sarah, I have to interrupt you there. We have to go over to the break. Yes. But hold that thought. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest today is Sarah McCrum, co-founder of the Consciousness of Money series of programs. We'll be back with more from Sarah, a new blueprint for making money, and news of her exclusive free gift for you after the break. Stay tuned.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sarah McCrum, I want to read something from your book, a little passage that says, "Forget all stories about how money corrupts. It is the belief that money is limited that corrupts and creates competition, fraud, and theft. There is no need for competition. There's no need to cheat people for money or steal money when there is more than enough for everyone. The only job is to master the art of creating it." Now, your book lays out a really sensible, actually, blueprint for creating money. And it's not that, you know, there are areas of it where we've already come across before. We came across it in The Secret. We've come across it in many books since. What makes your courses, your book, different?
I would say that the thing that is different is the focus on love. I've come across many really wise and powerful teachings about money that say that money is energy and that it's a neutral energy and that therefore it's up to you what you do with it, but that it's presented generally as a neutral energy. I think what has really struck me since I started practicing and learning how to do it is how it's that message about love that makes the biggest difference. When you allow yourself to recognize that money is an energy of love, you can put it in a different language. It's an expression of the divine. It's a part of everything. It's a part of life, and all of life is love. So actually, I'm not saying anything very radical at all. I'm saying something really quite normal in spiritual circles. When you actually start to admit that to yourself and allow yourself to love it and therefore question your unconscious beliefs about it, and much more significant, allow yourself to feel the love that comes from that energy to you, because that's what really changes the game. When you can feel this beautiful, really exquisitely beautiful, loving energy, and you feel surrounded by it, and you feel it infusing with you, and you feel how ready and willing it is to help you. It's like this extraordinary sense of inner and outer support. That, to me, is a real game changer, because I've met many people who followed some of the stuff in The Secret, and a lot of what was in The Secret was amazing, and it really changed the game for so many of us. But I think many people got stuck either in just creating more and more stuff, and then they got bored of it. So I've met people who just, it's like, okay, I can do that, now what? Or people who got tripped up by the subconscious, the blockages and things. And so I found that it's when we start to engage with love that we begin to unite inside ourselves. It's like it unites the spiritual side and the material side. And then we can create, we become more creative. And so instead of money being something you have to go out and get or something that you're reacting to, you start to shape and form how you want to interact with money in your life, because you have this creative power that's in you. It's actually working in you because you're not blocking it anymore. And so I think that that is the biggest shift, actually, in what I'm talking about.
I would not disagree with you. I have long believed that money is the same energy as love. And I have witnessed times in my own life, I've witnessed it with other people, where they're in a place where they cannot receive love and they cannot receive money either.
Yes.
The thing is, when somebody is desperate for money, when they're in a real situation, it's very hard to stay open in that experience. You know, one contracts with fear, one thinks about, one goes, you know, out of the present into the future, gets anxious, thinks about all of the things that are going to go wrong. How do you help people open up to that love and open up to the energy of money?
Yes, I know that place very well, the fear and the contraction, and that feeling almost like I know it's not going to work. I desperately need this thing and I know I'm not going to get it. And it's an awful place to be. So one of the things that I've discovered is really important, and I'm deeply grateful to the Chinese training that I had that taught me for 20 years before I started all of this to relax. So the first thing I do is teach everybody to relax, literally to relax, not just relax about money, like to say, oh, relax about it, it's okay. Because when you're really tense and closed like that, it's very difficult to relax. But if somebody leads you to relax and they have that relaxed position and they have the ability to transmit the energy to you so that you can receive that for yourself, you can share that experience, then you get a felt sense, you get a direct experience of what it's like to relax in the middle of a really tense situation. And that is an eye-opener for people, even just to realize that my circumstances are terrible, I'm desperate for money, and in all of that I can be relaxed. So there's a little break, there's a little kind of chink that opens up in your consciousness then to recognize that your circumstances don't have to control how you feel. And that's the starting point. As an extension from there, as you relax, you begin to be able to experience love as well. And I teach that the same way. I create what I call energy activations, which are 20 to 30 minute recordings where I literally lead people to experience whatever it is, whatever the topic is. So it might be love, money, how to experience that inside yourself, to experience the energy of it. Because once you taste it, and then maybe taste it again, and then taste it again, you start to want to have that really nice taste in your body. It's like if the only food you can get is really disgusting, but you're starving, you'll eat disgusting food. But the minute you start to have access to nicer food, there's something in us that chooses what's nicer. So I want people to really feel what it's like to be relaxed, to experience love in the middle of that situation. And when they get that, their situation starts to change. So they don't have to go out and change things. Their energy changes, and so the circumstances actually begin to change as well.
In your section where you talk about secrets for receiving money, you talk about the principle of increase. Tell us about that.
Yes, this was something that came through the book in several different ways. It always talked about how important it is to keep expanding. And that was actually quite controversial, I think, for many people, because they're saying, hold on a moment, we live in a world where we're using up all our resources. How can you say we should keep expanding, keep increasing what we want? But what I've found is that it's in human nature to want to expand. We want to grow. We want more. It might not be more stuff. It might be a richer life. It might be that, okay, I've had enough of this. I just would like more of that. And that seems to be a natural principle. So the book, the money, was saying, follow your heart, follow your soul's desire that is always looking for more. It's always looking for expansion. And I would say, even when we die, it's almost like we're saying, okay, I've done with this body. I want a bigger experience next time around. So even that is actually a movement of expansion, not really contraction like we see it. And so, yeah, I reckon it's pointing to this principle. And what I've noticed is that when we go for that expanded desire or wish, if you like, if we say, you know, I really want the best for myself, I really want this and that, not either or, I really want not to compromise here, I just want something really good, money responds very actively. It gets very engaged when we have that kind of energy. So it's a way to wake up your connection with money, is to really admit what it is you want, really, in your heart, not in your head, not what other people say, but what you actually want in your heart.
Now, you also say that we're entering a period where we'll be required to have a bigger vision if we want to be successful. And this is not just about our passion or our personal goals and dreams. This is about being agents for the huge change that is taking place across the globe. So tell us more about that.
I'm seeing this. I'm seeing entrepreneurs who have been successful in the old mode not being successful anymore and having to change the way they do things to open up to a deeper alignment with their own inner sense of purpose and with creating some kind of change in the world, being really aware that they're not just selling things to sell things to make money, but that whatever you sell and how you sell it is your contribution. It's a significant part of your contribution, or the contribution of your life. And so this was very fascinating for me, and I'm seeing it increasingly come true, that we need to connect with our ability as human beings to make an impact. We do make an impact. Every thought we have, every feeling we have, influences the whole collective of humanity. We need to be aware of that, because from that little point of how does my energy affect everybody else, through to what am I going to do in my life? What am I going to give? What am I going to contribute? All of that then becomes an expression of your soul, if you like. It becomes aligned with your deeper inner sense of purpose. And I see that increasingly money is flowing in that direction. It's still early days. I won't say we're there. But there is increasing reward, and it's getting easier for people who create businesses or work in businesses that are taking care of the wider context to be successful.
Yeah, you're singing my song. I've been saying, you know, for some years, to, you know, and I've been observing exactly the same thing, that businesses that are out of alignment are gradually finding life is much more difficult for them. You know, I don't think in this energy that we are moving into, we can afford to be out of alignment. You know, if there's a wobble in that energy space, it becomes palpable. People sense it. You know, they can feel it. They may not know what they're feeling, and they will respond to that accordingly. And I think you're right on target there. You know, I have a saying that you cannot separate who you are from what you do and how you move through the world. And I think that is becoming more and more obvious to us. You know, which leads us into what you were, you know, a little bit of what you were saying earlier about the new currency and contribution. And I think the people who, you know, aren't contributing to the good of all will be suffering, and the people who are suffering will understand the need to contribute to the good of all.
Yes, I think it's coming. I mean, it's a tough thing to say to people who are suffering, because it mm-hmm. can seem as though we're saying, oh, you're selfish, there's something wrong with you. But it's not that. It seems really important to me that anyone who's suffering understands that it's really just, there's something that you can learn that makes life feel better. And this happens to be what we're talking about. It happens to be one of those really significant things that you can learn. That life feels better when you don't focus all the time on yourself and your own pain, however strong the pain is. Some simple things, like when you relax, when you allow love in, it doesn't have to be from a person to begin with, just allow the love that is the underlying energy of life. It sounds kind of fluffy, But I found that it's not fluffy, it's true. You can actually connect with and receive that love, and it softens something inside you. And you realize, ah, I wasn't doing something wrong. I just didn't know. And I think it's extraordinarily acceptable not to know. I find every single day now, I'm helping people and myself face situations where I really don't know what the answer is. I don't know what's the right way to move forward on the old model. And so I have to open, be very kind of raw and innocent almost, and tune in more deeply than I ever needed to before. Even after 30 years of personal development, I can still say this is the case. For a complete beginner, also for me, just to tune in and to find my inner direction, my inner alignment. And that's what helps us to find that place where the work that I'm doing is this kind of contributing work, work that is really for the good of the collective and of the planet and of each other, not just for myself.
And that brings its own rewards, doesn't it? Collectively, mm-hmm. and personally. I'm curious to know, we talked about, we have to go to break. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with money consciousness coach and author Sarah McCrum about her latest book, Love Money, Money Loves You. We'll be back with more on transforming your relationship with money with Sarah after the break, plus how to access the Energy of Money online course that she's gifted exclusively to listeners of this show.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sarah McCrum, just before the break, I was going to ask you a question, a curiosity I have. Have you noticed in all of the people that you've worked with, among them, that when people open themselves up to money and their financial situation improves, that they also attract love into their lives?
It's very interesting. Yes, I have observed that the way people relate to money is remarkably similar to the way they relate to the people closest to them, and they often observe that as well. And so, yes, what I've seen is some quite startling examples, actually, of people who perhaps in a workshop say, you know what I really want is a relationship. And this energy of money is really the energy of manifestation. So it responds to your desire for a relationship in the same way as your desire for money. And I've seen people literally very quickly find relationships, but probably more commonly, because so many people are already in a relationship, is that when you open up that love, you start to open up the love between you and your partner. And that's actually been my personal experience as well. It's money's been an incredible teaching or teacher for me about love and how to love and how to be loved, how to actually accept love. And I notice now it's still teaching me, if I get a bit busy, which I can do, and kind of all caught up in my own little world, I kind of separate myself a bit from my husband. And I notice that everything comes back into alignment when I remember that I'm here to love him, not be totally caught up in my work. And something, my life settles down every time I do that and get off my kind of roller coaster ride, which sometimes it feels like. So it continues to show me the same thing. Like, life responds to love.
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, I think, you know, it's so important in opening us up. I mean, when we're in love, there's no room within ourselves for hate, is there? We just, you know, no. We just love everybody and everything completely open.
Yes, including ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder whether you could give a quick tip on anybody right now who's listening to this, who is saying, yeah, it sounds great, but I really need money right now. Is there a tip that you could offer them to help them manifest that right now?
Well, when I've been in that situation, what's worked best for me, and I only do this when I need it right now. Actually, I'll give you two ways. So the simple way, which you can do anyway, and this is what I would do even today, is I just say to money, I just imagine money's there, there's this energy there and it's listening to me, and I say really quietly, without any drama whatsoever, please money, sort this out for me. Pay my rent, pay for this bill, bring me what I need. I don't say please help me to pay this bill, because that puts me somehow, although I'm going to be the person who pays it, I just found I get better results when I ask money to sort it out directly. It'll still send the money to me most of the time. The other way to do it, because it's sometimes really hard to trust that, I would do it anyway, whether you trust it or not, because it often works. The other thing to do, I found, is to sit down. This is a more traditional method. Meditate, do whatever makes you feel really, really good. Ask for what you want, very straightforwardly, and then just sit and meditate or relax or do whatever and stay there until you feel so good and so confident and so at one with this energy of money that your mood, your inner energy has shifted. And I've actually had some really remarkable results doing that. And the other thing I would say is, look, if you fail, try again. Don't give up. That's really important, because sometimes you learn by failing a few times and then you make it.
Yeah, I have found that when you're in that place where you're very confident and it's kind of non-negotiable, and you just say, you know, this is what I'm going to have, that very often it does appear.
Yes, it really does. It's just tricky for people who don't have that non-negotiable position. That's why we sometimes need some different approaches, so that if you're not quite there, I've been in that situation, I just knew that I wasn't there and I couldn't do anything to shift into it, and then I had to discover other ways.
Now, money talks, obviously, through the book, and one of the things it says over and over again is that money is unlimited. If it's unlimited, why do we need it at all?
Well, it does actually say at one point that once you understand it's unlimited, you won't really need it strictly in the way that we understand it now. But I think we're a way away from that. Why do we need it? So when it says that it's unlimited, the point about that is that there's no limit to the amount that we can give to each other, that we can contribute to each other, that we can create. There's no limit to our imagination and our potential in terms of creating service for each other. That's all ways of expanding our experience as human beings. And because we've had this frame where we think money is limited, then we've created all kinds of problems for ourselves around that. So my perspective is that we will experience increasingly light ways of facilitating exchange. Sometimes people talk about the gift economy, but my observation of the gift economy is that it sounds beautiful, but what it really means is that some people are doing work in a fairly traditional way to make lots of money so that they can give it to other people who are receiving it. And I think we need something that is much more sophisticated than that, much more nuanced. So I see that our financial systems will become way more responsive energetically as we let go of the need to control life through money. And as we get better at manifesting, or I prefer to say creating actually, then I think that perhaps what people are pointing to with gift economies will become blended with a money economy. So we will be able to much more fluently bring all kinds of experiences into our life just at a thought or a wish. And so money will play a lighter part in it all. It'll still be there because it's still this energy that connects us all together and creates the exchanges between us and facilitates them. So we'll need some system for that. But I can see that it'll be more and more energetic and less physical.
I have many more questions for you, but not enough time to ask them all. So I want to be sure that we tell our listeners about this very generous gift that you've offered them. So tell us about that, the Energy of Money course.
This is actually a very simple course, and there's a reason for that, because the message of the book is very simple. And it's something that you can do over 7 days, but you can also repeat it, so you could do it as often as you like. And it consists of a series of 7 energy activations. So they're recordings that you can listen to with your eyes closed, and they change your energy around money, and each one has a different theme following the themes in the book, so it actually makes a really good accompaniment to the book. So one of them is called Relax About Money, because relaxation is a big theme, enjoyment is a big theme, love money is a big theme, so it's those kinds of things. And then for each activation you get a little talk, a 20-minute talk that helps you to understand with a bit more richness what the activation was about. And these are a way to get you started in this new relationship with money from a direct inner experience perspective. And it also has several recordings of coaching sessions where people have asked me questions. So you might find some questions in there that you have as well that I'm answering in those coaching sessions.
Now, this is normally priced at $100, and you are making this offer exclusive to our listeners. So what do people have to do to access it?
So I've set it up on my website, and what you need to do is go to this link, which is sarahmccrum.com/om. Sarah, sarahmccrum.com/om. You just sign up there, and then you'll get an email which will give you access to the course, and you can go ahead and start listening.
You've also got another course coming up soon called The Consciousness of Money. How is that different from The Energy of Money?
So The Consciousness of Money is it's an online course, but it's live. It's 6 weeks, 90 minutes each week. It's run by me and 2 other people, my husband and a business and a partner. And we teach in a very active, very interactive way, lots of tools and techniques for relating with money, for connecting with money. We teach you how to have a conversation with money. There are activations, a whole lot of different activations that go with it. So it's a much richer experience, if you like. There's lots of coaching. You can ask as many questions as you like. So that's a chance to go much more deeply into the way of applying the message of the book in your life, in your business, and in your world work. So we actually do a whole session on this topic we alluded to earlier about your contribution to the world. And then we also help you to release old energy, old blockages, that kind of stuff. So it's a much richer experience than I can give in a small online self-study course. But they're all part of it, you know, they fit together.
Now, you work with entrepreneurs and business people all around the world, and you also work with individuals. What, in your experience, has been the most surprising result that you've ever seen from somebody who has worked with you on their, you know, attitude to money?
That is a hard question, Sandy. When people ask me what's the most, I always have this thing like, oh, I don't know what's the most. Because I'm not going to hedge it, but first of all, I will say that sometimes for me, it's really tiny little shifts that I see in people that give me such pleasure. I saw somebody recently who's a foster mother. She has about 5 or 6 children that she fosters. And it's clear that she's totally in love with what she does. And she was on a course, and I was in a small breakout group with her. And suddenly she came alive to the fact that she wanted to get a different house so she could bring in the brother and sister of a child she was already fostering. And it meant she needed a new car to be able to satisfy the requirements of local government. And she had no idea at that time how she could do that. And a few weeks later, she started to talk to the government, and she found the car she wanted. And she told me the story the other day. She said the car actually spoke to her and told her this is the one, and she could afford it, and it worked out. And now she almost found a house, and then it turned out a bit far away for the local government, and she tuned in. It's like, do I want the house or do I want the kids? I really want the kids. And so she's now, I know, because she's become so clear, that she's going to find the house where she can bring those extra kids in. And you know, it's just such a beautiful, touching story for me to see somebody come, just light up around the material things that they need that will allow them to do what they really love. And before, she'd just been in a little bit of kind of spiritual fluffy cloud land where she was denying what she really needed. And so she wasn't getting it.
Mm. Do you still, I mean, talk to money? You probably talk to money if you are engaging with it for a particular purpose. But do you have the odd, you know, interesting conversation with money that takes you by surprise?
Well, one of the things I discovered about doing this kind of thing, talking with money or any of those, I can talk quite easily with other things as well, I discovered, is that it's always surprising. So I often, actually nowadays, when I teach it, when I do a retreat, I'll join in and do it myself at the same time. And every single time, I just get such good advice. And you know what the advice I get most often, and it always comes with a kind of freshness, is, Sarah, you need to love me more. Just love me, love me, love me. Just love, love, love. They go on and on and on at me about it. So,
yeah. There is one of the sections at the beginning of your book is money will save the world. How is money going to save the world?
When we realize that money is genuinely unlimited, and so we can open up to our own spirit of generosity and creativity, and we can accept love and share it, not from sharing my precious resources, but sharing something that flows through me and is freely available. I mean, even just as I speak that, it becomes really obvious how that would save the world. It changes our consciousness. If we can resolve the conflict that almost everybody on the planet has around money and align money with love, we are then able to find inner peace, and we become more conscious, and we can solve anything that way.
Well, isn't it interesting? I mean, we keep hearing how, you know, the bulk of the world's money is in the hands of probably 24 people, and you've got, you know, 7 billion others who don't have the bulk of that money. But if those 7 billion others have the love, they will soon be able to change that.
Yeah, and some education. And it's not to say the very wealthy people have much, much, much more love than the rest of us. And we don't have time to go into that.
No.
Just, I know people get confused about that. So if you don't have money, it doesn't mean you don't have love. It's it's like there's something you need to shift, and you do it in little steps and open up to see how money really works in this way. Because you don't want to be like you don't want to be somebody who is very wealthy and not sharing their knowledge. You want to become somebody who really understands this love and then can share it with other people and share the knowledge about money as well. And then, absolutely, I just see that it will make such a huge difference.
I'm sure it will. Sarah McQuam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I've really enjoyed it.
Me too. Love Money, Money Loves You by Sarah McQuam. Many books promise to transform your thinking and your life. Trust me, this is one of the few I've encountered that really does deliver. But don't take my word for it. Take advantage of Sarah McQuam's generous gift, the Energy of Money course worth $100, but completely free for listeners of this show. Experience it for yourself. Sign up at sarahmcquam.com/om. And you can also learn more about Sarah's work and her next online workshop at sarahmcquam.com and theconsciousnessofmoney.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for being with me today. And I'll be back again with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.